Hello, I'm Herb Warple, Editor-in-Chief of Engineered Systems. Welcome to the Percussive Maintenance Podcast, where we examine the who, what, why, and how of the comfort engineering industry. Oil buildup is one of those pesky problems that plagues HVAC systems, big and small. It impedes heat transfer, reduces a system's effectiveness, and forces it to work harder and use more energy. The guest on today's episode, Michael Daly, Chief Technology Officer for ECM Technologies, believes his company has found the holy grail in this area. Stay tuned as Michael introduces us to ThermoClear, defines its usefulness, cites a few case studies, and much more.
Michael Daly, I'm the Chief Technology Officer of ECM Technologies, a relatively new business. I've got 30 plus years of experience in engineering. Mechanical engineer, have my PE license, did my business training at Harvard. But focus has always been about product development, bringing new technologies to market, everything from life-saving products of airbags for cars to body armor, vehicle armor, medical devices, and now for the past 10 plus years in the sustainability world. So ECM Technologies, as I mentioned, relatively new company. We're doing our big splash here out in the Phoenix, Arizona area, albeit our plan is to roll nationally, principally in the Sun Belt region, focused on the HVAC, the high-use HVAC sector of the country. So we have one product, and looking forward to talking about it.
Michael, what does the acronym ECM stand for?
Energy Conservation Measure Technologies, and it's intentionally plural because we don't plan on settling for just offering one product. And that's really, I think, a very important factor here is we really want to listen to our clients, what their needs are, vet different technology services, and look at, as we're in essence, we're developing the channel to the market. So we want to be a more than one product solution and offering. So we plan on adding, but today we're one.
Okay, wonderful. Well, for us engineers, it should come as no surprise that HVA systems become less efficient over time. And I know your company, Michael, has done a great deal of research into this topic. Can you enlighten us on some of the information that you've discovered?
Sure. So there's, when researching HVAC, let's say degradation of performance, we all know that there are some of us that are well in tune with what's going on with HVAC systems, but for the most part, building occupants don't, if it's comfortable, they don't care, they don't think about it. Number of the causes for degradation that we've researched, we focused on one that is very rarely spoken about or talked about, or for that matter, understood, although it's been out there for a long time, and that's called oil fouling. It's a slow degradation, and in essence, it's robbing HVAC systems of their performance by impeding the effective heat transfer of those systems. All systems experience it except for the few units that are out there that have that are oilless, that use like magnetic bearing compressors. Obviously, they have no oil, so there is no oil fouling in those types of systems. Oil fouling was first mentioned, and it was kind of a surprise to me that it's something so obvious, but it was first identified probably 40 years ago and talked about different means of addressing it. Design engineers on the HVAC system side really have spent a lot of time designing and optimizing systems to mitigate any effects of oil fouling, but it's really inherent in all designs.
Michael, how and why does it occur? Is it sort of like an automobile where it gums up and it needs to be changed?
Okay, so oil in an automotive engine is an excellent example of we have the opportunity. We know that oil degrades over time. It breaks down from excess of heat or contamination. And in our car, we have the luxury of the routine maintenance of changing it. Most HVAC compressors are hermetically sealed, albeit you can change the oil, but nobody would ever want to. You'd have to purge the Freon from the system, cut the compressor out, drain the oil out of it to replace it. We just don't do that. You typically let it stay for the life of the product. Oil serves two purposes within that compressor. One is the obvious of the reducing friction on the moving mechanical parts. And the second less recognized is that it acts as a seal for the gap between those mechanical parts. Just like in our automobile, there are oil rings in the on the pistons, and it's trying to keep the oil enough that can get up there to lubricate the cylinder, but inevitably they're trying to keep it in the sump, in the crankcase, but some of it escapes.
So you kind of alluded to this, but why is it so problematic if we just leave that oil in there and it causes these problems? What's going to happen?
Well, with minor seepage or migrating of oil out of the sump, the compressor into the Freon loop, which inevitably it does, we slowly get a coating of oil on the heat exchanger coils, and oil acts as a thermal barrier. So what it's doing is it's reducing the effectiveness of the heat transfer from the Freon to that coil. Again, it's inevitable. Most systems are designed such that the higher velocity of the high pressure side is pulling and drawing that oil back around to get it back to the compressor. Larger systems, chillers, have oil accumulators. The intent is to get it back, but inevitably you're left with a thin film. It's not disastrous. It in itself is not going to kill the equipment. But if you just, it's like putting a weight on the system. That compressor has to work harder to deliver the number of BTUs that our thermostat's calling for. And in delivering those BTUs, you're drawing higher amperage to run that compressor. It's running hotter. That equipment is more prone to failures and or require complete replacement. So it's bad in that sense where we're kind of unaware of it. We typically don't do anything about it, but there's an opportunity. It's a low-hanging fruit to do something about it since there are materials to deal with it today.
So we know, as you mentioned, it can be a real chore to try and get into that oil within the HVAC system. And not only that, it can be a detriment to the environment as well. But I know your company, ECM Technologies, actually has formed a solution. Tell us a little bit more about that solution that you call ThermoClear.
Well, ThermoClear is addressing two things. One, it's addressing the frictional losses or as that oil is breaking down in the compressor and that compressor having to work harder with, let's say, less viscous oil, broken down oil. We're helping that system by putting in an improved lubricant in that system that attaches to the metal. It's really just a very thin coating that's, again, helping the lubricity of it, aiding that work on that system. More importantly, I'd say, is more that heat transfer piece. The active ingredient in our product is a long chain liquid nanomaterial that is attracted to the heat exchanger coil surface itself. What it does is it is attracted to it and it displaces oil that is, let's say, wetted to the surface of that metal, and it has a higher attraction force than the wetting attraction of oil to that metal. So it displaces the oil, and the oil gets put back into circulation with the Freon, which then can take it back to the compressor. We don't eliminate the oil in the Freon. We just displace it from the heat exchanger coil, enabling the Freon to work at its optimum performance. So it's the active ingredient to improve the lubrication and to improve the heat transfer. To get it into the system, we mix it with a synthetic oil. It's a polyol ester that's compatible with all of the refrigerant oil types and Freon types or refrigerant types. We inject it onto the low pressure port. It is drawn into the system that gets circulated through the compressor and back through the high pressure and all the way back around to the low pressure side. All of the components, the proprietary chemical nature of our product has been compatibility tested for all of the internal working components, the Freon types, the oil types, and is proven through extensive testing to not cause any issues with materials or the performance of the system other than enhancing it.
Okay. Is there any specific HVAC equipment that ThermoClear works best with, or is it applicable to all oil-based compressors?
It's applicable to all oil-based. However, performance gains are going to vary based on, one, how much that equipment has been used. we will say, you know, generally we'll just say the age of it, but there's obviously situations where equipment's run 24/7 versus infrequent use. So equipment that's used has much longer run times on it. It will, it's going to see the highest performance improvement on those older type of systems. When we translate for clients, what that payback may look like, obviously that then correlates to their utility rate plan, the operational use of that building, how heavy that equipment is working. There's a whole range, and we help our client with understanding if they want to look at, we recommend the entire portfolio of their HVAC equipment, could be from new to old, but inevitably if their budget is limited to only do something today, we'll help guide them towards where they're going to see the best return on that investment. But one that's kind of unrecognized as well is by lessening the work that the compressor has to do, especially on the older equipment, its life gets extended. It can last longer. And in today's environment, over these past couple of years, where suppliers have really struggled to keep product on the shelf, components or full systems, that's a huge attribute, is the ability that if we can extend the life of our equipment, budgets can be extended. There's other attributes besides just a reduction in energy consumption that's hitting the bottom line.
Yeah, sounds like a great fit in, say, healthcare institutions or schools who work on a fixed budget.
Absolutely. So that's where we enjoy working with the client who knows their operational use, has their capital asset plan to work with them, their maintenance plan, or to work with their HVAC service contractors to help understand what are the best solutions specifically for them.
And you mentioned at the start of this interview that the company is sort of new, but the technology is not unproven. In fact, you've implemented a few pilot programs out in Phoenix, and sunny Phoenix, let me add. Can you tell us a little bit more about the lessons you've learned through those projects?
Absolutely. When saying that the product's been around for a long time, again, technology has been around for, it was first thought of roughly 40 years ago, patented 20 years ago. Significant advancements have been made to it. Full disclosure, I'm not the inventor of the material, albeit I work closely with the inventor on how we advance the technology. We still had to prove to clients that this really works because there is some legacy to products that are added to refrigerant that some are concerned, is it going to damage equipment? Will it actually perform? And we had to go through a litany of tests to verify that. As a startup of a company, what we did is we put the proper financial backing together so that we could do very extensive in-depth pilot studies. We fully instrumented a number of different types of equipment, and I'll give the examples of like the city of Phoenix, as we've worked with them. They wanted to see what we could do on DX split equipment, what we could do on air-cooled chillers, what we could do on water-cooled chillers. So they gave us an art museum, the Phoenix Art Museum downtown, which has three 350-ton Trane water-cooled chillers. They gave us one, played it safe, that they already knew that they were going to put that through the Trane refurbishment process and rebuild it. So they said, have at it. Let's you go ahead, instrument it, which we did for half a year, recorded and uploaded data every minute up to the cloud, which was everything from the extensive measurement and verification process that we captured all voltage, all amperage on all three legs of these chillers, runtime, the supply return water temperatures of the condenser, the chiller. We had the delta pressure in that water to calculate what the flow rate would be. We had everything tracked every minute for what turned out to be in excess of a year to have a baseline, and then do it also subsequent to treatment, and then look for the apples to apples comparison of data. There was very extensive analysis that went into this. We ran a report, furnished that to the city of Phoenix. They said, okay, we love it. However, we're not all that trusting. And quite frankly, your thermodynamic stuff is pretty extensive. We're gonna call in an expert. They brought in NV5, an engineering firm, brought in their PEs, who then took the raw data, verified that our data acquisition was correct and appropriate. And then they went through all the equations to calculate and the binning of data to verify apples to apples. And at the end of the day, validated it was a good process and it was validated performance gains. And they made the recommendation in their letter to back to the city of Phoenix that they should actually implement ThermoClear across 12 million plus square feet of conditioned space at the city of Phoenix. That same type of approach was used at a the city of Phoenix facility service building on rooftop units, DX and split systems, and then also at Sky Harbor Airport at Terminal 3 using a York 71-ton air-cooled chiller. And these pilot studies, most of these that I'm talking about, we have a sampling on our website, and that it's just a two-page synopsis. And we are very happy to have all those out there that love to crunch numbers. Make the request. We'll give you the raw data. It's a complete open system here. We're proud of what we've been through and that the numbers speak for themselves. We've been on at ASU, Arizona State University, up on their facility service building, whereby we monitored four rooftop units out of 100 plus on that building, ended up treating all the units on that building. But our pilots are substantial, in-depth, and they are a sampling of different types of equipment and in different operational type uses. We plan on adding to that as we go forward, continuing to build on our case studies, the pilots. But we love to speak about them. I do, and would love any questions that come back around that, but invite people to the website to take a look at that.
Yeah, it's important that you touch on all the different types of units, the rooftops, the water cooled, the air cooled, because it really shows that perhaps we have found a little bit of the fountain of youth here.
Yeah, that's a large claim, but to me, it's low hanging fruit. And as much as we all are, we talk about having to build on our sustainable energy, but we lessen the load on how much of that new energy we need to create if we just look at the low hanging fruit to reduce the current energy consumption. And this seems like it's just a silver bullet for the equipment that's out in place that's sucking up a lot of energy today. It's an easy solution. The installation is super simple. Being injected into the low pressure side of a system, systems don't even get turned off. We need them, quite frankly, to be operating, to cycle the material through. So the occupants of a building aren't even aware that it's taken place. We can treat DX equipment in 15 minutes. We use licensed third-party service providers to do all the installations for us. And on a 1,000 ton water cooled chiller, they'll be there for no more than an hour, 2 hours at the most, monitor the system, verify that all the performance, that the system's operating properly to start. We'll do our treatment and then monitor for another 30 minutes. Question that I sometimes get, Herb, is that some people may think that maybe that we're doing something on the hydronic side. We are not. This is purely on the refrigerant side of the system. And it's super simple.
Wow. Well, I'm excited to go take a look for myself. It almost seems too good to be true.
Well, we think so as well. And we think that the city of Phoenix, they voted with some dollars on the belief in it as well. They signed us up to a 3-year $2.1 million contract to treat all of the city of Phoenix properties. And it's something that it's going to be a phased approach. We're starting here soon. We've already done the museum. We're going to be doing all of their police stations, their fire stations. Fire stations are next in our queue to do so. As we start doing that, we're going to roll some of that out on social media and put some videos up that that show just how simple the installation process is. So we look forward to sharing our this journey as we go forward.
Yeah, great. Well, tag us in those and we'll make sure to share those with our audience as well. Michael, we've covered quite a bit on this, but while we have you on the broadcast, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Make this plea to people. Again, as much as I view that we're really good at vetting technologies and services and identifying a good match for clients, we will be carrying other products as we go forward. And I put that plea out there. If people have some ideas of what they're looking to bring out there, to get in touch with us. I'd love to discuss what the opportunities and the ability is to get there. Indoor air quality is a huge one. The HVAC system's affecting that. I've been seeing some new patented technology about filters that could last a year that have a medical grade silicone oil sprayed onto them. And just one example, but to say, you know, we're highly interested in what else people could bring. We want to learn about it, want to bring it in front of our clients, sustainability minded, technology minded, and look at introducing them to the marketplace. So thank you so much for having me on here.
Yeah, no problem. So if those who are tuning in are interested in learning more about ECM or perhaps pitching a novel idea to you and perhaps seeing that data that you mentioned, where should they turn?
Okay, any of three places easily is to go to our website, ecm-technologies.net. Look us up on LinkedIn or direct email to me, mdaly, D-A-L-Y, at ecm-technologies.net. Love to chat, love to, for people to take a spin through our website, give us feedback. We're excited about what we're finding and the receptivity that we're getting out here. And that we're, as we roll out something like the City of Phoenix, we're going to be working with more HVAC service providers. So that's, we're going to do a major reach out to HVAC service providers. We've worked with a handful of them already, but we're always open to have more discussions. We're principally focused on large municipalities and commercial. Eventually we'll get to residential through service providers, but love to hear from new technologies, HVAC service providers, or best yet, clients. So all good.
Well, Michael, thanks again for sharing your time and expertise with us and for introducing us to ECM Technologies as well as ThermoClear. We look forward to tracking that technology and seeing its success in the near future. Thanks again, and we hope to catch up again with you real soon.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed our conversation with Michael Daly. To further network with him or ECM Technologies, visit www.ecm-technologies.net. The Percussive Maintenance Podcast is now available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Show your support for industry journalism by rating and reviewing this podcast. Doing so will help us reach a broader audience. Also, please subscribe or bookmark us so that you can enjoy all of our past and future episodes. Finally, make sure you visit Engineered Systems' website at www.esmagazine.com for the latest and greatest industry news, announcements, articles, and much more. We appreciate your continued support. And remember, if you can't fix it with your brain, you can always rely on a swift kick. We'll see you next time.